Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Monday, May 12th. Local Catholics tell us what they think of the new Pope. More on that next. But first, the headlines. Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in Logan Heights has joined churches across the country in suing the federal government. They want to protect schools, hospitals, and churches from immigration enforcement. For years, those were considered off-limits for raids and arrests. But the Trump administration ended that policy in January. The legal complaint says that has turned sacred spaces into, quote, sources of extreme anxiety rather than places of healing. Our Lady of Guadalupe calls itself an immigrant parish. Until recently, it ran a migrant shelter out of its community room. National City's 2022 Teacher of the Year has been sentenced to 30 years to life in state prison. 36-year-old Jacqueline Ma pled guilty to 4 sex crimes against preteen children. She taught at Lincoln Acres Elementary School before being arrested in 2023. It's not an isolated case. Several more San Diego area school teachers and administrators have been charged with sex crimes against minors in 2 years since. Ma will be eligible for parole after 30 years. This Thursday is Bike Anywhere Day in San Diego County. It promotes cycling as a fun, sustainable, healthy way to get around that can ease traffic and improve air quality. More than 100 pit stops around the county will offer snacks and activities from 6:30 to 9:30 in the morning on Thursday. You can pre-register at sandag.org/bikeday to get a free t-shirt and a chance to win an e-bike. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
The Finest is a new podcast from KPBS, introducing you to the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. In our latest episode, Mary June painted her dreams for decades, but when she got a CPAP machine to treat her sleep apnea, she lost them.
What do we choose? Do we choose a thing that kind of ignites our creativity or our health? And I feel like a lot of artists go through that all the time, no matter what the topic is.
Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Many people in San Diego are joining others around the world, celebrating the election of the new Pope, Leo XIV. Reporter John Carroll talked to some young Catholics and found out about a special connection the new pontiff has to San Diego.
When he was a priest and prior to the Order of St. Augustine, Father Robert Prevost visited St. Augustine High School in San Diego in 2012 on the occasion of the school's 90th anniversary. St. Augustine's principal, James Horn, released a statement which says in part, "To now see him step onto the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica as the 267th Pope is nothing short of humbling. A fellow Augustinian and man of deep faith, his presence at Saints left a lasting impression, and now his papacy begins with that same spirit of service, wisdom, and humility." On the campus of the Roman Catholic University of San Diego, we found a mixture of joy and hope surrounding the election of Chicago native Robert Prevost to the papacy. Here's first-year student Alan Hickerson.
I think that he's a great choice. Not a lot of people saw him as the choice for Pope.
USD Vice President for Mission Integration Michael Lovett Collier says the former Cardinal Prevost is the perfect choice to be Pope.
Leo XIV is from the United States, but he's only spent 1/3 of his life here. So he's not only a U.S. citizen, he's also a citizen of Peru, very much a multicultural, multilingual person. One of my colleagues described him as an American Pope with a Latin American heart.
Lovett Collier says Leo will have a say in who the new Catholic Bishop of San Diego is. The position was left vacant after Pope Francis reassigned Cardinal McElroy to the Archdiocese of Washington. John Carroll, KPBS News.
Herbal medicines discovered long ago by Native Americans are recognized today for their healing powers. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge met with members of local tribes about how they sustain their culture, finding medicines and tools in the San Diego environment.
William Pink is an old guy wearing a gray hoodie and a crushed hat lined with small pins. He holds a stick with a string coming out the other end. The string holds a row of wooden rings.
This is a acorn ring game. So these are the acorn caps from the white oak, interior white oak. And the idea of the game is to try and catch the rings. Caught one. I'm William Pink. I'm descendant from the Agua Caliente Capeño from Warner Springs. In my 20s, I went around and visited a lot of the elders and, you know, was trying to learn things as much as I could from them at that point, because saw it then that we were losing a lot of information. So I spent a lot of time working with a lot of different elders, actually up and down the state of California.
We're on the campus of Cal State San Marcos at their ethnobotanical garden. Pink and I are joined by Bonnie Bade, a professor of anthropology.
Southern California plants are so powerful because they provide medicine, food, construction materials, tools.
You know, what is technology? It's how are certain things made, you know, that you have to employ certain tools to accomplish certain things as well, too. You know, there were no metal objects. A lot of these were done without any metal tools at all.
Pink scrapes the side of a narrow wooden stalk with a pocket knife.
So these are stalks from the dogbane plant. It was one of the major sources of fiber for textiles in the Native American community. There's two ways of preparing the dogbane. One is kind of blistering the bark off. You don't want to scrape it, because if you scrape it, you destroy the fiber.
He says the fiber was also used to make fishing nets and anchor lines. He crushes the stalks with his fingers and removes the fibers.
What are you doing now?
I'm spinning on two-plying the cordage. Then I'm going to let you try and break it so we can get you on film. So I always offer to pay $20 anybody that can break it.
I wrap the fibrous cord around my fists and pull with all my strength. It doesn't break.
Well, I go home $20 richer today.
I'm Mel Vernon. I'm the captain of the San Luis Rey Band of Mission Indians. We're a Luseño tribe here in the Oceanside Vista area.
I meet Mel Vernon on a protected plot of land in Vista, surrounded by tract homes and mountain peaks, where we find a sacred stone called Indian Rock.
We're in a place here in Vista, undisclosed. Our tribe is the Stewarts of this big rock behind me, called Indian Rock. The red okra drawings on it from women, young women that had performed their puberty rites, so to take their place in the tribe.
My name is Michael Cerda. I'm a tribal member of the San Luis Rey Band of Luseño Mission Indians. I've been kind of known in the tribe as the plant person. We have about at least 65 plants here on this lot, and there's a third of them are medicinal. And science today is telling us that our ancestors were using them in the correct way. But sure enough, there's chemicals in there that they know that do the healing. Anti-inflammatories, antibacteria.
Like California sagebrush, Artemisia californica. He says it's an anti-inflammatory and a disinfectant. He stands in front of a bush with yellow flowers.
People out there know it as the common name as elderberry. It's medicinal. To our people, it's sacred because it's saved some lives. It's it relieves digestive issues, breathing, respiratory issues.
Vernon adds that medicine does have a somewhat different meaning among Native Americans. Healing isn't always something that comes from a drug. It also comes from your mind and your spirit.
So the medicine people, and even today, you have something that's wrong, or you think it's wrong, and somebody else says, no, it's just this, and you feel better about yourself. Yeah. And that's a healing, pretty much an instant healing.
Indian Rock in Vista has not been sheltered from the modern world. It's become a hangout, and the graffiti on Indian Rock is vandalism. Michael Cerda says it's hurtful and disrespectful. They planted poison oak around the rock and cactus around the property's fence in an effort to keep people away. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Carlsbad has a long-standing ban on new drive-thrus in the city. But as North County reporter Alexander Nguyen tells us, the city council recently approved a policy that could pave the way for more.
Since 1998, the only drive-thrus in Carlsbad have been ones that were already there before the ban. Recently, the city council voted 3-2 for a policy that would allow for more without lifting the ban. It lets the city issue conditional use permits and zoning amendments for individual locations. Brett Schanzenbach with the Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce calls that winning the battle but not the war, because there's no guarantee the permits would be approved.
This particular avenue that they've chosen is definitely going to only have limited people even start it because of the time involved, the money involved, and how the onerous is all on the business itself.
He says some developers who can't open new drive-thrus are hesitating. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
What would you do if someone gave you $1 million, no strings attached? In 2021, a local nonprofit actually got $1 million from billionaire Mackenzie Scott. Reporter Melissa May told you about the David's Harp Foundation when they first found out about the donation. She recently checked in to see how they spent their seven-figure gift.
Welcome to the Transformation Home. Come on in, let's go.
For Adrian Quintero, his home for the last 8 months represents something bigger.
A true loving ecosystem, like a thriving, you know, I think I look at like plants. There's a lot of plants around here. And I think if you look at a plant that, you know, might be dehydrated or doesn't have enough food, you put it in an ecosystem that's thriving and is able to, it's really able to transform it.
He says the Transformation House ecosystem creates a safe community for youth exiting the juvenile justice system, helping prepare them for the future.
What I've been able to see is through a lot of students, they're able to come in and not really understand what they need, but are able to be transformed by community and love and stability in this place, while also setting them up for the future.
Quintero is the house manager, helping residents learn how to live independently.
What it looks like to prep food and actually make your own food, that's a thing. Doing laundry all the time, what does that look like? Cleaning up, doing house chores. And so sometimes as a young person, it's hard to like do all these things. And so you need just somebody to be like, hey, all right, guys, we're gonna do this.
It's all part of a program run by the David's Harp Foundation. In addition to giving youth at risk of homelessness a place to live, they teach them essential skills and job training through music and media.
Building relationships through art, earning relationships, and then walking kids back into the community with a trusted adult, a mentor to help them walk them through the process of probation. And really, that's the heart of what this is.
David's Harp is Brandon Stepp's vision.
The challenges of young people as they come back into community from juvenile detention are a lot. Everything from literally from housing to workforce and job things, but also really connection and relationship.
In 2021, billionaire Mackenzie Scott selected David's Harp to receive a $1 million gift, no strings attached. At first, Stepp didn't know what to do with it. Then one day...
So I was driving downtown, coming down the 94 freeway, coming to our BizPod program where young people are building businesses. And at the time, a little over 60% of those kids were experiencing homelessness. And so you had kids that were coming, showing up, bringing their full self, investing in the skills that they needed to run businesses, but having to figure out where to sleep at night. Sleeping in cars, sleeping in and friends' couches and couch surfing. And it just dawned on me, like, we need to be able to build an infrastructure where these kids can really launch out from a house into their own housing. We needed our own house. So that's what we did. We purchased a home.
Currently, four youth live at the house, and there are plans for expanding it into a village.
They're able to pay $500 a month in rent. That $500 is saved for them in escrow. And after 12 months, they get all of it back as first, last, and moving on their own space.
While the $1 million went towards purchasing and renovating Transformation House, the foundation has also grown.
We went from 2,000 square feet downstairs to 45, almost 5,000 square feet upstairs here in Moniker Warehouse in the East Village.
Before the donation, the foundation served 220 youth each year. Now they're up to more than 500.
Including 95% of young people in the justice system. So the program is doubled, but it's also doubled in output.
They've also doubled their staff, including graduates of the program, like Riley Reynes.
I have no idea where I would be without David's Harp. Like, kind of just from being locked up in East Mesa, like, I kind of just had, like, a vision of what I wanted to do, and I had all my goals written down. Like, I really wanted to be here.
Reynes has grown a lot since we first met him in 2021. He's since graduated from high school and now serves as a full-time artist mentor for David's Harp.
I really just want to help kids who are kind of going through the struggle and just know that it's better on this side of the fence and that you can kind of change and like be who you want to be and just be positive with it, you know?
Reynes produced all the beats you've heard in this story. Since 2007, Step says the foundation has helped thousands of youth and that $1 million has helped them have a greater impact.
What we chose to do was to go all in with young people and invest it directly in their future.
Step hopes one day soon the courts will consider Transformation House and the foundation's workforce program an official alternative for youth facing incarceration. Melissa May, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.